The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, reading to chapter 4, reading from 21 to 24. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth."
I feel like I've been a permanent fixture here today. Now, if there are any children here, we have some treasure boxes down the front for primary age children and some other bags for the younger children if you'd like to come and take one of those back to your seat. Can't give them too many choices, can we? And it's exciting that next year Sheridan License has put up her hand to lead a children's ministry, and she'll be organising that. And it'll be held out in the new area, the Lighthouse Room, as we're calling it. And just so excited because we've been just praying, God, you know, start bringing families in, start bringing younger people into this fellowship. And we're beginning to see that happen. And we just want to assure you that we're working towards looking after the children in 2015. And we look forward to seeing other families coming and joining us in that time. And I'm sure Sheridan will talk to the parents as time gets nearer for what she has in mind. How about we just pray as we gather around to hear from God's word today, and just be open to where he would lead us in that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And we just ask now, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to us today through this passage and through the words that will be shared. May the things, Lord, that you want to impact people touch their hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. So according to our reading this morning, the kind of worshippers that God the Father seeks are known by a couple of characteristics. Who remembers what those two things were? By spirit and truth. When we look at such a statement, it's found in verse 23, I often think what people would be wondering when they read, what is it to worship in the spirit and in truth? Is it something where we become holy rollers and just go drifting off into space in our time of worship, and then we come back down to earth and, wasn't that wonderful? Is it about experience? That's what I'm asking. Or is it something deeper than experience, deeper than a feeling? I think that's what we'll find out today. And what we'll find out is actually it's quite simple. But starting at the end of verse 23, it reads, "For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." So God the Father is actively looking for the type of worshipper that Jesus is talking about to this Samaritan woman. And a couple of weeks ago, we went over that, didn't we? We looked at what worship wasn't or isn't. And we reflected on how the Samaritans worshipped, and then we brought into that message how religious worship can really mean nothing at all to God. And today we're going to go some way to answering the question, what is true worship? If I was to make a one-line statement on worship, I would say this. True worshippers are people who engage with God in their everyday life. How simple is that? I'll say it again. True worshippers are people who engage with God in their everyday life. It sort of puts a question there now, doesn't it? Are you a true worshipper? Are you engaging with God every day of your life? Or are you not quite there yet? In reference to our passage in John chapter 4, a well-known theologian, Charles Ryrie, says of true worship, "Worship can and should take place anywhere and everywhere, since spirit is not confined to a particular place or time." So what that is telling us is that we don't actually have to come to church to worship. But we do come to church to worship, you might say. But if we were to live our whole life in worship, where would we be? We'd be all here with our beds. Our job would be here. Is that the way we would think? No, because the church isn't a building either, is it? We are the church, the body of Christ. So wherever we are, there the body of Christ is, or there the church is. Wherever we are, therefore, we can worship God. But that doesn't mean that we need to have an iPhone or an iPod with headphones on, walking around singing worship songs, does it? Does it? Thank you. It's good to know that somebody knows that worship isn't just about singing songs. It's great to sing songs. Don't get me wrong. We've sung a few already today, haven't we? The other thing that Ryrie says is worship comes from man's spirit. It is no mere surface ritual. What is a surface ritual? It would be just coming here every Sunday, going through the motions of presenting your body, putting up your hands in the air, singing out a song, and then packing up your Bible and going home. That's one type of surface ritual. I don't know if you remember, early in the year, in January, we did a series over the whole month on the church. Does anyone remember that back that far? And one of the things we looked at was rituals. Now, rituals can be good, but if they lose the heart behind what it's about, then they just become things that man does by himself. Surface type activity, a surface ritual. The third point that Ryrie makes on this passage is that true worship is a person-to-person experience, honouring with our spirit God who was revealed through the Lord Jesus at all times and in all places. True worship, person to person. So that means, Francois, when you're at work, as a Christian, you can worship God in your workplace. In fact, you could look at your job and say, this is an act of worship as I serve God in this kitchen. But maybe some of you might be thinking, well, I don't take God to work with me. But let me tell you, he's there. He's there with you. You might be shutting him out for fear of talking to somebody about him. But he's just there waiting for you to actually open your mouth sometimes and to say, thank you, God. And the fellow working beside you, what did you say? And it opens up a whole thing of honouring God, for which this point is just being made, that we're honouring with our spirit God, who has revealed through the Lord Jesus himself to us and come and dwelt with us. Now, Ryrie Fervor says about this passage, in reflection on the term in truth, that it means that the character of true worship must be genuine and without pretense. Therefore, to worship in truth necessitates a growing knowledge of the Word, which will also increase our appreciation of the worth of the God we worship. To worship in truth necessitates a growing knowledge of the Word. Who's growing? Who's growing in knowledge of God as they read his Word? I see a hand or two. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. I see some smiling faces. Because you're thinking of the things that God has sown into your heart. You're thinking of the things that he has done in your life. Praise be to God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. Amen. Now, I just want to spend a few minutes showing you how we become spiritual. Because you can be out there in the world and you can be walking down the street or down on a beach somewhere. Not that there's any beaches near here. But you can come across people and they present themselves as being spiritual. And you can have good conversations with them. But as soon as you mention that you're filled with the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus, you're cleansed and you're going on with your life in Christ, up go the barriers, don't they? Now, John Lakovich, just want to interrupt your snoozing up there, mate. Could you put some air on? Because I think a few people are feeling a bit of the heat. A bit of the humidity that's building up. Thanks, John. So would you like to turn to John chapter 14? And if you know your Bible, you know that John 14 through to 16 is filled with wonderful passages about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And it's in John 14, so is everybody there yet? We find that Jesus promises that he will send the Holy Spirit. It is through these words that we can further understand how we are to worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus begins with a statement in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. Of first importance is that passage. Because to be able to worship in the Spirit, you have got to have a love for Jesus. You've got to know the Lord. You've got to follow him, obey his commands, live the life that he desires you to live. And then once that is established in your life, then you are in a position to be able to worship. Anyone can worship. People bow down before donkeys and all sorts of things, don't they? People that even football, there we go. Sydney Swans, yeah. But we've just got to be careful of how we go with that area of our lives, don't we? Because to some it can become their God. But none of us here are affected like that at all, are we? What follows in John 14 and verse 16 and 17 is all about God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit, as Jesus continues. He says, "And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." What a statement. Not only with you, but in you. Then John 14 continues, and this is even more profound, I believe, as a passage, as the word reveals that the Spirit of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will live with those who believe. And it says from verse 19, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Belief in Christ alone gives us spiritual position so that all who are being saved may be a conduit of worship regardless of their knowledge. You don't have to be a great scholar. You don't have to have all this knowledge that then you can say, "Now I believe there is a God." You just have to believe. You just have to have faith in what God has done in sending the Lord Jesus. And as you believe, not because you've got the knowledge, Christ comes and dwells within. Let's continue and looking at some of the attributes of true worshippers today. Remember, it's not the religious, but the people who have a heart after God who are true worshippers. True spiritual worship comes from the heart. We've had some great songs today, as I said earlier, but true worship doesn't rely on songs, does it? Nor does true worship rely on the old ways of sacrifice and ceremony. That is the ritual that I mentioned earlier. As Ryrie says, worship is no mere surface ritual. But I'm afraid singing songs can become a surface ritual at times. Worship doesn't rely on emotion or raising your hands or any one thing that we think is our worship of God. But that doesn't mean that we stop doing them, does it? We just need to be doing things from the heart. The heart of worship is to bring honour to God. To worship in spirit and in truth occurs when one is filled with God's Spirit, lives in truth, following the ways of the Lord and espouses the life that Jesus lived. I don't know how many times it is said by pastors the world over about being like Jesus, living like Jesus, following his example, obeying what he has taught, living the life that Jesus lived. True worship is when one's whole life is given over to God. It is when everything we do honours God. Let's look at the Apostle Paul for a moment. His life reflected the life of a true worshipper. In a number of his letters, he writes from a position where he's in jail, or in chains, it might say in different translations. And our home group over the last few weeks has been looking at one of those letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, which was from Philippians. And in chapter 1, he mentions four times that he's in chains. Yet, what was his main bent? Not that he was in chains, but that his life, whether alive or dead, would be honouring to God. You could say that Paul espoused the epitome of worship, that whether in life or death, Christ would be exalted. To Paul, worship was a whole life commitment. The willingness to be imprisoned, the willingness to die, to be a martyr for the Lord, was evident in his life as what his concern was, the people that he had brought to know Jesus would grow in their life to maturity in Christ, that they would become true worshippers of Jesus. Back in our passage in John 4, where we first had Mick read from, it mentions about the Samaritan woman. Wasn't she blessed to be in Jesus' presence? The privilege she experienced of having time with Jesus was then extended to other Samaritans as well. Because if you pick up the reading in verse 39, and in the NIV it says, many Samaritans believed. She went from that dialogue that she had with Jesus, went back into her town, and she said to the people, this fella, he's told me everything about me. And from that, they all came out to see Jesus. And from that, they all became adjusted, I guess you'd say, to the new way of worship that Jesus was presenting. Because, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, the way they worshipped was up on the mountain because they thought that that was the place, and I won't go back into all that. To worship in spirit and in truth, though, is not just for a select few. And that's what this passage shows us. If you remember me telling the story about the Samaritans, how they came into being, they were a mixed bunch. They were a Heinz 57 variety. They had a bit of this and a bit of that in them from all different countries around. And it's telling us something, isn't it? If Jesus was there for the Samaritan and not just the Jew, he was there even back then for every nation. In fact, John Wesley said, true worship shall be no longer confined to any one place or any nation. What did Ryrie say? Anywhere, at any time. That's where true worship is found. The words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 sets down for the Israelites how they are to worship their God. And it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Our worship of God is directed by our love for him. As we love, so we worship. Jesus further expanded on this passage in Mark 12 and verse 30, when he said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's implying a whole of life again, isn't it? It's not just a token investment. It's giving over everything of yourself to God, honouring him with your life. To worship God in spirit and truth involves heart, soul, mind and strength. True worship must be in spirit, that is, engaging the whole heart. Unless there's a real passion for God, there is no worship in the spirit. At the same time, worship must be in truth, that is, properly informed. Unless we have knowledge of the God we worship, there is no worship in truth. Both are necessary for satisfying and God-honoring worship. That knowledge can only come from God himself. It comes to us through his word. And as Jesus says in John 16, that his Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. I'm going to just bring this to a close now. And I just want to finish with two statements I found in an online Bible study. Yes, I search the internet. I have a look at things and find things and think, yes, we'll put that aside and we'll use that sometime. It's a great resource to get into when you're studying a theme or something in your Bible study. This is what this study said. Spirit without truth leads to a shallow, overly emotional experience that could be compared to a high. As soon as the emotion is over, when the fervor cools, so does the worship. Truth without spirit can result in a dry, passionless encounter that can easily lead to a form of joyless legalism. I don't think we want any of it that way, do we? The best combination of both aspects of worship results in a joyous appreciation of God informed by Scripture. The more we know about God, the more we appreciate him. The more we appreciate, the deeper our worship. The deeper our worship, the more God is glorified. If you need to dig deeper in your relationship with God, today's a good day to start that. If you have been moved in your heart today by something that's been said, as the Holy Spirit has been at work within you, you need to respond to that. Don't go from here thinking, oh, no, I'm right, I'm just going to go about my normal way of life. God is seeking people who worship in spirit and in truth. They're not my words, they're Jesus' words. God is seeking people who would worship in spirit and in truth. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, then you can't be seeking God. You can't be worshipping in the way that he is desiring you to. And if that's you today, there's nothing to be ashamed of, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. And as you do, his Spirit will fill your heart and you will become a true worshipper of God. So if there's anybody here today who wants to be a true worshipper of God, while everyone's head is bowed and eyes closed, just shoot up your hand. You don't have to hold it up for half an hour. Just show me that you want to be serious with God today. And then after the service, I'll pray with you. Is there anybody that wants to know the Lord Jesus today? Let's now just continue as I close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are indeed seeking people who would worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just commit ourselves afresh to you today, that if there is any area in our life that is not pleasing to you, that we would lay that down as you would reveal that to us, that we may be able to assume our position of working, of worshipping, I should say, in spirit and in truth. That position of being in the spirit and in the truth. So, Lord, would you have your way in us today? Would you reveal yourself to us, Lord, in a deeper way? That we may continue to grow in the maturity that you so desire to see us in. Maturity in Christ Jesus. And we ask that in the precious name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.